Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Page 15 of our manual. Why should a church engage in the revitalization of other churches? Like we mentioned last week, when we are talking about revitalization, we are concerned about the health of a local church. Many of us are aware of church planting. We are aware of church growth. But there cannot be church planting, correct church growth, when the church is sick, when the church is not healthy. Our goal in this revitalization exercise, is for Ikoyi Baptist Church to be a healthy church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When the Kimbalani comes forward, he's going to be sharing more on the life cycle, and that will remind us as to where we are and the challenge that is before us. So believing God that Ikoyi Baptist Church will regain health, want to trust God that God will use us to help other churches. And like we established also last week, our denomination particularly is a sick denomination. And there's nothing to hide about it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it is those that are sick that needs what? The sick needs what? So the sick needs physician. I want to trust God that after now, God will be using us to minister health to other churches. So 10 reasons why a church should engage in the revitalization of other churches. Number one, body relationship. Body relationship. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. Body relationship. Can we read together from the screen? Praise the Lord. Are we all right this morning? Let me ask your neighbor, is everything okay? Or you need to be revitalized? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So can we read properly now? They form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one spirit into one body. Hallelujah. So the body of Christ is how many? Just one. And Ikoyi Baptist Church is just one of the body. Just like our body parts, we are all interconnected and we are all interdependent. We cannot say I'm not of that church, whether it is Pentecostal or Orthodox or whatever. We belong to one body. And whatever affects that other local church also affects us. So that's one reason why we should be concerned about other churches and be willing to help them revitalize. Another reason is the command of the scripture. The command of the scripture. Isaiah 35 verse 3. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 3. The command of the scripture. Can we read together again? Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. There are some churches like this that needs to be strengthened, that need to be steadied, that needs to be encouraged. Galatians chapter 6. Can we go to Galatians chapter 6? Verse 3. Galatians chapter 6. Okay, let's read from verse 1 and 2. Let's go. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you are spiritual. Verse 2. Hallelujah. Carry what? Each other's burdens. One of the ways Ikoyi Baptist Church has been carrying other churches' burden is many a times they apply to us the request for money and we give to them. It is good. But it's not just enough to give money, you know, to a church that will not survive. There are other things we need to do in addition to giving them money, and that's what we are learning now. That we're going to help a church to revitalize, in addition to giving them money, we need to go actually into that local church and spend some good time to see how they can regain health and vitality. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number 3, the art of the good shepherd also challenges us to help other churches to regain health. Matthew chapter 18, verse 12 to 14. You see the story there of the good shepherd. Can we read from verse 12? What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he's happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. Praise the Lord. That's the heart of the shepherd. That out of 100, just one is missing. He will not say, after all, it's just one. I'm all right. He will leave the 99 and go in search of the one that is missing. Until he's recovered, he will not rest. We will not fold our hands until all our father's sheep, until the churches that are not healthy regain health and become the kind of church that God wants them to be. Number 4 is the example of Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, many of us know him as an apostle, as an evangelist, but we need to know also that Apostle Paul was committed to the ministry of church revitalization. Can we read Acts chapter 15? Acts 15 verse 41. Acts chapter 16 verse 5. Okay, can we read verse 41 together? He went through Syria and Cilicia, doing what? Strengthening the churches. Amen. Acts 16 verse 5. So the churches. Hallelujah. When the church is strengthened, what will follow is growth. Amen. They will grow in number. That's why we're talking about church health informs church growth. When the church is healthy, that church will naturally grow and reproduce ourselves. Romans chapter 1. Let's read Romans chapter 1, the example of Apostle Paul. Can we read together again verse 11? Hallelujah. Can we read verse 12, then go back to 11? That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Apostle Paul, unlike the churches in Ephesus, Galatia, and so many others, Philippi, where God used him to start those congregations, he was not responsible for the founding of the church in Rome. And many times he made attempts to visit that church. That's why he started in that verse 11 by saying, I long to do what? To visit you. But his visitation to this church was going to be a purposeful visitation. You know, many times when we visit our brothers, we just visit, maybe just to go and gist, just to go and while away time. That is not the kind of apostolic visitation that we see Paul engaged in. What was the purpose of his visitation? That I may do what? Impart to you some what? Some spiritual gift, and to do what? Make you strong. And when you read the next verse, so that we can be mutually encouraged. Those are the three things that we look for each time we go on visitation. And by the grace of God, you'll be seeing our pastors and deacons coming to visit you in your home. Thank you for coke or malt that you will give them when they come. But make sure there's an impartation. Are you hearing me? They should not leave your house until they have done what? Release the blessing. Amen. And I've seen God doing wonders during visitation. That you just go, you spend maybe just 5 minutes, and you walk with this understanding. Miracles take place. Hallelujah. But say, I long to see you, so that I may impart unto you what? Spiritual blessing. Make you strong. And at the end of the day, we shall be mutually what? Encouraged. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number 5, we are already talking about mutual encouragement and strengthening of the mother and daughter churches. That's in the case where we are doing this for daughter churches. But when we are doing it for other churches, that will still be in place. Encouragement and strengthening of the mother and daughter churches. Number 6, impartation of spiritual blessing, which I've just talked about now. Hallelujah. 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 I just hope you will catch on what I've just said. That when this man of God comes to your house, please make sure you collect something. They are not coming just for nothing. Amen. 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 When Sarah and Abraham receive visitation, what happened? The delay of many years received solution. So when this man of God, the pastors and deacons that comes to your house come, they are coming in the name of the Lord to bless you. I've received blessings from my spiritual fathers, and I know what I'm talking about. Few days ago or weeks ago, one of them just woke up in the morning and said, Shegun, I'm coming to your house now. and he traveled all the way from Ibadan just to come and bless my family. And as he finished praying, he said, mission accomplished, I'm going back. And every word of prayer they said that day, I've seen them happening one after the other in Ikoyi Baptist Church. It was not just a blessing for me, but a blessing for this congregation. Don't joke with what we are talking about. Amen. Amen. Number 7, you need a refocusing on the Great Commission. The Great Commission is in Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18, where we are commanded to go to all nations, making disciples. So, the essence of church revitalization is to refocus local churches to the original purpose, the original intention of the Almighty God. Number 8, for the purpose of church health. We've mentioned that also earlier. We want to become a healthy church that can grow and reproduce ourselves. Number 9, church vitalization is an integral part of the Great Commission. Church revitalization is an integral part of the Great Commission. And finally, we need to engage in revitalizing other churches to bring glory to the Almighty God. Hallelujah. A healthy church will make God happy. Whereas a sick church will make God to be sad. I want to be a healthy church. And so shall we be in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, what's happening? Pastor has finished now. You can clap for me. The pastor has finished. I've finished my part. Can we welcome Deacon Bolan? You are not happy with me. Clap for me too. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. It's a great privilege, a great honor to be in Ikoyi Baptist Church. I've been sitting there. I have enjoyed seriously the choir, the music, the women choir. For me, it's my first time, but for my children and my wife, they've been here. So more or less, Ikoyi is home for me too. Hallelujah. Reverend mentioned about the small work we're doing at Ilorin. It's out of a burden for the educational system in Nigeria that something needs to be done. And we're trying to do a little thing in our own way, bringing up children, graduates, and people even in research into new technologies. We're focusing on autotronics and 3D printing technology. So that's just by the way. I want to thank my father in the Lord, Reverend Dr. Adeleke, for giving me this privilege once more. And it's been a journey. And each time we go to churches or associations or a group of churches to talk about this topic of revitalization, it goes beyond just a fix. I'm sure if you cast your mind back to churches, usually we have revivals. For some churches, it's a yearly thing. But after the first week of revival, probably the first month, things go back to the same. Back to status quo. But then, church revitalization is beyond a fix. It's solution-based. And God gave that revelation that this should be communicated to as many churches as possible. We have people in Abuja, and that's anchored by Reverend Tammy Siloko, and there's Reverend Apojishere, and other people in Port Harcourt area, I just moved to Ilorin. So it's a movement to get people to understand this so that the church in Nigeria will be healthy. Praise the Lord. I'm going to look at a topic that sounds not very familiar, at times even scary. And that is that churches die. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2, reading from verse 4. Revelation 2, reading from verse 4. Yet I hold this against you. Who's talking here? Our Lord Jesus Christ. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate what the practice of the Nicolaitans are, which I also hate. But what I want to bring out here is that you have fallen from the height that which you used to be. Now, in church life circle, there are things that you look at to be able to actually gauge where a church is in its life circle. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said, I was once a child. I talked like a child, reasoned like a child, did things like a child, but now that I'm grown up, what should I do? Should I continue doing childish things? No. Now, churches also pass through life circle. I don't know if you have it projected. It's like a curve. You start with birth. You grow on to infancy, to childhood, adolescence, adulthood. Then you grow up to maturity. Then there's something called emptiness. That's aging. Churches do age also. And there's retirement and eventually death. Churches pass through this circle. Now, if at any point in time a church does not redevelop, and redevelop means that watch what you are doing, catch the vision, sustain the vision, and grow in the path of the vision. So that is what we're talking about. And I'll be using some words. There are four major components in trying to look at a church. Number one is the vision. Number two is the relationship, or sometimes called the inclusion. I'll be explaining this later. And number three is the programs. And number four, the management. These four things are very key in the life of a church. Now, I'll start with the birth. What do you mean by the birth of a church? Now, if you go for church planting, you know, a church does not just get planted, but it starts with a conviction, a dream, a vision to go into some place to start a church. That's the birth stage. That's the stage at which there is that incubation of the vision of what God asks you to do. Then there is the birth. And for these four components, which I mentioned, there are different things or different aspects that are very, very critical, very, very needful as you move forward in each of these areas. Now, at birth, most of the time, it's propelled by the vision that the church has. This vision is what propels people, leaders, to go into any area to establish a church. And this vision carries people, values with it, and different aspects of the church life. And we see that the leadership of the church is to cast that vision to the members and all those that will be part of that church. At birth, that is when we have people who are very, very mission-minded. They have dreams. That energy is there that, yes, the Lord has led us to do this and we're going to do it. There's a purpose. And there's leadership also. And when the church grows from that birth, it moves into the area of the infancy. It moves into area of infancy. When a church is an infant, what do we normally see? Chaotic things, things that are not organized. Everybody wants to exhibit that zeal. That, oh yes, this is what's going on. Coupled with the vision that God has given to the leadership, this combined is like a small little family. Usually, everybody knows everybody. And we're going to see how this has impacted the church when the church grows larger. We're talking about cell groups now, and I wonder how many people know that the need for cell groups is actually to make the church small enough for people to know themselves, but large enough for the world and the gospel to propel to reach other places. So these are the things that are required in the church. At infancy, you see vision, you see inclusion or relationship. People relate with one another. Now, for me, from experience, this is the time I enjoy the most in the church. When the church is at an infancy. Because if you don't see Brother Labaja or Sister this, you wonder and you call. Because everybody knows everybody. But when the church grows large, what happens? Somebody does not come. If he's not in a house fellowship, that the house fellowship members don't see him, that person drops in between the crack. And as we'll see later, these are subtle things that a church misses that make a church grow old, that makes a church retire, that makes a church even die. And when the church grows further, it grows into childhood. You know, when we say, we are relating, the church is sweet, fellowship is sweet, and things going around, then somebody comes and says, look, we need to have this in place, that in place, that in place, that in place. And that's when the programs come in. WMS, youth programs, discipleship programs, and different aspects of programs come in. That's when the church becomes gradually organized into different aspects, taking shape, taking form. And at childhood, ministries start springing up. People start volunteering for service, and different activities begin to spring up. Again, I'll recast, at childhood, two things are very key: vision and program. And in Port Harcourt, we started a church after we started the church revitalization program. And I tell you, there's a big difference in the growth of that church between when we started the church revitalization and before we did, because this was in focus. We know what to pursue at every point in time. And we ran this diagnostic, because church life cycle is actually a diagnostics program. And this church is doing really well. And what was left in the church is that at different points in time, please gauge where you are on the life cycle so that you don't miss it out. Because when a child starts talking like an adult, starts behaving like an adult, what do we normally say? His reasoning is beyond his age. So you need to check that that child stays within. That child does not quickly grow to become old, so as to miss whatever it is that he's called to do. And at adolescence, three things come into play. That's the vision. It's the relationship. It's the program. And what do we mean by program? I think I've mentioned that. Ministry starts springing up, services, activities, trainings of different types. Now, at this stage, church life is sweet. At this stage, the church becomes stronger. At this stage, we see leaders of different callings springing up in the church to help the ministry to grow. Now, at times, we see that in church planting experience, some churches don't grow as fast as we think they should. It happens. Even with human beings, it happens. But then, there needs to be a deliberate study, a deliberate act of prayer for God to actually show what is really wrong in these churches. Now, as we move from birth to infancy to childhood, it's not just straight like that. Usually there is a curve. Usually there are delays. But then as the church redevelops, by redevelopment, I mean that the church focuses or find out what the issues are. What's it that is missing? You move forward. Now, Ikoyi Baptist Church, from my brief observation as I came, I see that the church also is passing through a redevelopment phase, and which I think it should. The best time in the church is actually the prime time at the age of the church, and that's the adulthood. There's vision, there's relationship, there's program, there's management. Now, for me, looking at Ikoyi Baptist Church, great program, great management. Lovely music. Lovely premises. But then, let's ask ourselves, what stage is Ikoyi Baptist Church in the life cycle? We're going to see. Because the result of one of the study that was done is actually going to be shown, I think. Yeah, it's telecast now. It's on the screen now. But I'll explain. Please keep it there. I'll explain later. Now, after the prime, what happens next? This church moves to maturity. But don't get me wrong. At different stages, it's not a must that the church will move from one stage to the other, one stage to the other, by the timing that we have in our booklets or our handouts. It might take some time for a church to move from one stage to the other. In actual fact, from birth to adulthood, a church wants to move to the next stage as quickly as possible. But the church would like to stay at adulthood as long as possible. But then this is where the challenge always is. At adulthood, everything looks fantastic. Heaven on earth. Everybody enjoys the service. Everybody enjoys church. And if care is not taken, which is the reason for that I believe is for this revitalization program, the church starts losing one of the essences. And the first to go is the vision. Now, a church might start from inception with one vision, but that vision might not carry you through all along. So when a church gets to maturity and vision is lost, then there needs to be a recast of another vision that will take the church to the next stage, that will propel the church to the next stage. And when this is done, the church can actually move from that maturity back to adulthood. And now, at this stage, that is when you see churches start losing membership. People start dropping off without being noticed. And if this continues, the church drops into the stage of the emptiness. Aging has started. For me and my wife, we are in that emptiness stage now. A stage where all the children have left home. And it's you and your spouse. The children are gone. Nobody in the house. And this emptiness stage, the predominant thing that we have is just the relationship and the management. Vision is not there. Programs are not there. That is when you start seeing, you call for a program, an activity or the other, you have few attendance. You do all that you can, but still, little people attend. Why? Vision is not there anymore. Program not there anymore. Something needs to be done. If nothing is done, even at this stage, no redevelopment, the church slips into old age. And at old age, the only thing remaining is the management of the facilities. I was somewhere out of the country some years back. And the church I was attending was a Redeem in Europe. And the church was approached as with an offer of first refusal. And what that means is that, okay, let's go and meet this church first before we meet any other person. It's actually a church there in Europe with a parking facilities for about 1,500 cars. So you can imagine how big that church is. And the price was going for 1.5 euros. And what happened? Very few old people now attend church. They've tried and tried and tried and tried. Finally, they gave up. Look, let's sell this church. Let's look for some other church to sell it to. In the course of this church revitalization, you're going to hear more of how churches die and how to die well. That's funny, isn't it? But then it happens. Again, in Port Harcourt, I don't know how many of you have been to Port Harcourt, there was a church that because of crisis, and usually it's because of these issues that we're talking about, loss of vision, loss of relationship and inclusion, loss of programs. That's what leads to interpersonal quarrels, squabbles, and a lot of these things. That church was locked for close to 7 years, I think, or more than that. Nobody went into that church. So can you say that church is in existence? Not really. Again, another example. A church approached New Life while we were still there. Look, we have come to the conclusion that we want to hand over this church to New Life. What has happened to the previous church? Dead. Because membership was dwindling. A lot of things were done to increase the membership. Nothing seemed to work. And the only way they thought was, the leadership thought was, let's hand over this church to another church so that we still maintain this as a church and let's see how that church will grow. By God's grace, church was growing, but then some few things happened. Again, another example, in Port Harcourt, crisis in church, the church had to close down. This was a ministry. The church closed down, property sold, everybody out. The church was dead. Now, you begin to think, how can a church die? Yes, churches die. If this warning that our Lord Jesus Christ gave in Revelation 2:4, reading down, is not taken into account, the first love, the first love. Paul had to talk a lot about even love, which is relationship in this time, inclusion. In 1 Corinthians 13, explain well what love should be amongst Christians. And remember what was going to happen, what was going to cause the crisis in the early church before the first set of deacons were appointed. Murmuring amongst the followers in the areas of distribution of things. The disciples redeveloped. And when we're talking about redevelopment, it's a vision, it's a revelation that God actually gives to the church of what to do. Through prayer, through a lot of things that God will reveal to the church. And for Ikoyi Baptist Church, this is one of the things that God is revealing to the church to be able to actually redevelop. Now, if a church falls into old age, and that's the late phase, the church can actually die. One after the other. If you go to the Europe, in the Americas, Canada, a lot of times you go to the church, who do you find? Old men, old women. And if you look at the churches in Nigeria, this experience has started. Now, I'm sure you're going to get this later. I don't want to preempt what my reverend is going to say. In Nigeria today, yes, some churches fill to the capacity. But is the vision there? Vision of Christ? Is it there? What's propelling the church? Is it the fundamentals of what God wants for the church or what Christ wants for the church? It's a crisis point that which we are, and we need to do something about it. Now, if the church is aware of all these things and the church is able to manage different stages, yes, the church will grow. And at different points in the life of the church, different leaders are required. At some point, I'm sure it's an experience for a lot of us here, that when a pastor starts a church, it gets to a point where it seems like no matter what the pastor does, nothing really is, it seems that it's, nothing is moving. It's the vision. It's the relationship. It's the programs. It's the management. So at different points in the life cycle of the church, different skill sets are required. And this, for some churches, they have been able to mitigate by adding to the pastoral team of the church with people with these different skill sets. And it's becoming a trend. So church revitalization is serious work. And The Lord is counting on each and every one of us. You know that the church is you, it's me. It's not the pastoral team or the diaconate. Not the church council. But it is what you do that actually make the church fall into whatever stage that the church is on the life circle. I heard that Reverend said that there'll be visitations to different people. Please open your doors to the deacons, to the members of the pastoral team. I had a story from one of our pastors in the north. He went to visit. He called the person and said, "I'm coming to your house. When can I visit?" "Oh, come at this time." The time came. He went, "Oh, sorry, I'm engaged. You cannot see me this time." It's impartation of blessing when they come. Now, if you have this attitude, you don't give the chance to get that opportunity for that relationship that we're talking about. Now, if I cannot come to visit you, you cannot come to visit me, you can even do a little greeting or, you know, show that, yes, I love you. Just like I heard the church sing during the time of welcome. We don't relate. Then how are we a church? Paul stressed this a lot in 1 Corinthians. Relationship is very key to the life of a church. There must be vision. There must be the management of the resources of God. Now, this is the first one that I'm going to talk about, and I'll quickly flash through another of what I have with me. And that you see in the booklet. If you have the booklet, the method study number 3, that's page 35, value audit. And this is very critical to know the pulse, what drives a congregation. And this particular value audit is very, very helpful. Members of the pastoral team, members of the diaconate, even families, because we have used this in several ways, down there in Port Harcourt while I was there. Now, there are 49 sets of questions that people need to answer in this. And what is the essence of all this that we're talking about? Now, I'm talking about the congregation. This value audit is an audit of what's happening in the church or who a church really is. We have those set of questionnaires, like the number one is asking, is there godly leadership in the church? You have your selections, 1 through 5. 5 being the highest, 1 being the least. For instance, is there financial responsibility? That's number 5 in your church. You make a selection. Do we have life-changing messages or are life changed in your church? I'm looking at number 16. Is your church given to prayers? Is there ethnic diversity in your church? Does your church care for the poor or care for the people? So those are the questions that which this questionnaire asks. Now, after the answering of these questions, there is a sorting, there is a grouping to be able to determine the strength of the church, the weakness of the church. What are the opportunities and what are the threats? And this is very, very helpful. Now, this particular audit is helping some pastors that are aware of this now. those that are moving to other churches, the first thing they do is, let me see the value audit of the church. What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? What are the threats I'm about to encounter? And what are the opportunities that there are? Now, all what we are talking about was pioneered by Reverend George Bullard of the Alban Institute, which has really helped, and it is still helping, churches to be able to revitalize, to gain strength, to gain vitality. Like it is often said, it's a healthy church that can help less healthy church, that can help dying and dead church. And the number 3-1 is also the church inventory. It's similar to the audit, but in this case, I'm looking at page 46, 47 now. It tells what type of church that you are. Are you a corporate congregation? Are you a program congregation? Are you a pastoral congregation? Or you are a family congregation? I wish there was time for us to go into this. Usually, this is a weekend affair that we hold a workshop to be able to do this. But it's just for this is the essence of today's talk, or the message is for us to be aware of where a church can be and what can happen. I'll finally go to the chart that we have. I don't know if we see it on the screen. It's a little blurred. Now, when the value audit, please let me have the chart. When the audit was done for Ikoyi Baptist Church, it fell on the right side of the graph. And that's where you don't want to be. It's a serious cause for redevelopment. And from the side at which Ikoyi Baptist Church is falling on the map, on the chart, sorry, it's at the stage of late maturity. The good news is, yes, something can still be done now, but it has to be done fast. So my plea is that the church cooperate with the leadership of the church, the diaconate, the pastoral team, to be able to move this church again into the stage of adulthood, so that the church will continue to experience the blessing and the grace of God. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook at Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.